Welcome to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk to John Rabe. And John, whom we've interviewed in the past many times, is a colleague of mine at D. James Kennedy Ministries, and he's even written a book called None Dare Call It Islam. It's a relatively short book, but packs in a big, powerful punch there in a very short amount of time. John, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's good to be with you, and it's good to be with you by phone. I'm sorry I couldn't make it into town to be with you in person.
Oh, that's okay. So, John, this book, None Dare Call It Islam, I mean, it's like every single page is just filled with all kinds of fascinating information, beginning with the fact that President Obama, it's almost as if he cannot put the word Islamic and terrorism in the same sentence, and yet is he reading the same news that I am? I mean, I can't believe it, with ISIS here and Boko Haram over there and so forth.
Well, that's really what the book is about, Jerry. It's about this phenomenon that all of America has frankly noticed, and it's become almost ridiculous. I don't know if you have any people who are fans of comedy listening, but there's a very famous sketch that the British improv troupe Monty Python did, and in it, this guy buys a parrot that's dead, and he's trying to return the parrot to the pet store, and the owner of the pet store keeps insisting that the parrot isn't dead when it's clearly dead, and so he keeps saying, "Oh, he's not dead. He's pining for the fjords." And what's actually happening is that President Obama has become like the pet store owner who keeps claiming that the parrot isn't dead when it clearly is. In this case, he keeps claiming that Islam has nothing to do with much of the terrorism that we see happening around us and happening in the world today. And the reality is it clearly does. There's clearly an Islamic motive in the terrorism that's taking place, that's driving groups like ISIS, that drove Al-Qaeda. And while it might not be the majority report in Islam, it is certainly a sizable minority, and it's become just perplexing that this administration and some in the media continue to deny that.
Yeah, it is amazing. And what's fascinating, though, too, is that as you break down the total of the 1.something billion Muslims in the world, obviously it's only a small minority that would actually practice these, you know, let's say violent jihad or whatever in the name of their religion. But the fact is there's still also a large group, they're not the majority, thankfully, but who would support these jihadist activities.
Well, that's right. And I wouldn't even say that it's a small minority that carries it out. It is certainly a minority, but it's a sizable enough minority that we see that they are able to take over large swaths of Iraq and Syria in a relatively short amount of time, in addition to the sorts of attacks that we've seen perpetrated all over the world, including in the United States on 9/11. So,
but that was only 19 men in the example of 9/11.
Well, it was 19 men in America, and yet they were undergirded by a vast group that was Al-Qaeda. And we saw that it took us, what would you say, the better part of 15 years then, or the better part of 14 years, to be effective against Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and in the surrounding areas on the other side of the world. And even then, some of the remnants have been able to reform and to bond with ISIS and to continue doing damage. So it is a minority, but it's I wouldn't say that it's a tiny minority. Now, I researched the numbers in the book, and this is one of the things that's important, because the claim is constantly made that, well, these who are acting in the name of Islam do not represent Islam. And frankly, that's just a ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
They don't represent all of Islam, no doubt about it, but this is a sizable number of people. And as you point out, the vast majority do not carry out these attacks, but a surprising number do support it. And I cite the numbers very helpfully. The Pew Research Center did a poll of Muslims worldwide in 2013, asking them a number of questions. And this was not a small sample size. They interviewed over 30,000 people worldwide to ask them some important questions. And what they found among, for instance, those who profess to be Islamic, as many as 30% of people who claim to be Muslim worldwide believe that violence, at least at some times, against civilians in the form of suicide bombings and other attacks are at least sometimes justified in the furtherance of Islam. We're talking about a religion that has an adherence, over a billion adherents worldwide. Mm-hmm. So taking those numbers at face value, we're talking about as many as 300 million people worldwide, including, by the way, 19% in the United States, who say, yeah, at least sometimes suicide bombings might be a valid strategy.
Along those same lines would be the belief that if a Muslim were to turn from his religion, then as an apostate, he should be killed. There are many Muslims that believe that. It's not the majority necessarily, but they do believe that that should happen. And the Quran teaches that, doesn't it?
That's right. And there are a number of countries, and again, this was enveloped in that Pew Research poll. There are a number of countries where it is the majority belief. In countries controlled by Sharia law, you do see that a huge number of people actually do believe that those who apostatize from Islam should actually be taken out and killed. And so these numbers are perplexing. Let me give you a few numbers, and again, these are cited in the book. But for in nations that where you have majority Muslim populations, the percent of Muslims who say that suicide bombing is sometimes or often justified, in your Egypt, 29% of the people say that. That comes out to over 23 million people. In Turkey, which is not considered a Muslim country per se, in terms of it has a secular government for the short moment, 15%, numbering over 11 million people, say suicide bombing is sometimes or often justified. In Afghanistan, where the Taliban has ruled, 39%, almost 12 million people, say that it's justified. And so, when we look at these, President Obama said something like, 99.9% of Muslims just want what we want in America. They just want peace and to be left alone, essentially. Well, the numbers don't bear that out. In no nation where you had a Muslim population was the number anywhere near 0.1% of people who eschewed violence. None, including America.
Wow, that's amazing. We're talking right now with John Rabe, author of the book None Dare Call It Islam, available at djameskennedy.org. And John, here's the burning question of the hour. But what about the Crusades?
Yes, that's the typical argument that's made that, well, okay, and there's sort of an equivalency that's made. Well, yes, there are some people in the name of Islam who are perpetrating these acts today, but you Christians are no better. After all, you have the Crusades. Well, as I like to often point out, perhaps you could give me an example from this millennium, but if we want to go back 1,000 years, let's look at what the Crusades actually are. And President Obama is famous for doing this, Jerry. You'll remember his famous comments now at the National Prayer Breakfast a few months back, where he stood up and essentially said, okay, you Christians, before you get on your high horse, he used the term high horse, talking about Islamic violence, before you get on your high horse, let's not forget. And then he named a litany of supposed crimes committed by Christians, and the Crusades were among them. Well, thankfully, that engendered a bit of a public discussion about exactly what the Crusades were. It's popularly believed now, because it's been wrongly taught in schools, that the Crusades were sort of a Christian offensive colonialistic measure to essentially acquire land for Christendom. In reality, that's not the case. The Crusades were a reaction against Muslim Crusades, against Muslim land acquisition. From the very beginning, from the time of Muhammad on, Islam was a religion that spread out by means of force, conquering land, and it spread into many Christian lands, conquering their land. And so the Crusades were really a reaction, a defensive reaction to reconquer land that had been taken by Islam and reclaim it as Christian land. But they were fighting back rather than starting the fight. It was not Christian colonialism. Frankly, it was a reaction against Muslim colonialism. But you don't hear it taught that way anymore in our schools.
No, and it was a reaction that came 450 years after the rise of Islam, as you mentioned about Muhammad himself. When he died, 632, bam, the forces of Islam just burst out of Arabia and just conquered so much of the world. In fact, I remember reading a statistic. I don't remember which particular church historian. I think it might have been Kenneth Scott La Tourette. But he said that by 950 A.D., 50% of what had been Christendom was lost to Islam. 50%.
That's right.
And most of that's never gone back.
No, that's right. And again, this is largely forgotten, and this is the equivalency that's made. Well, you Christians are just as bad. Well, again, who was the perpetrator in all of this? You had Islamic armies launching attacks in southern Italy and Sicily and Crete and Turkey and Austria and on and on. Sometimes those attacks were repelled and sometimes they weren't, but that all took place over the course of essentially 1,000 years following Muhammad's death. So the Crusades and the attempt to roll that back needs to be put in its proper context.
How about a comment about the media itself? Because they're part of the problem too, aren't they, when it comes to not identifying Islamic problems here?
They are, and that seems to finally be changing, thankfully, but the media has indeed been complicit in their reluctance to attribute these crimes to Islam. And it's in the book I refer to this as false equivalence, and it's a false equivalence that we commonly see and that I mentioned before. The perfect example of it, one of the textbook examples of it, is a few years ago after you had the Fort Hood massacre perpetrated by a jihadist Muslim, Major Hassan, who was shouting Allahu Akbar as he opened fire. He had been in touch with his he had been in regular email contact with a Virginia cleric who was eventually expelled from the country and eventually killed, I believe, in a drone strike, and had been identified as a terrorist by the U.S. government. He perpetrated that act. And the following Sunday, Bob Schieffer on CBS's Face the Nation has Lindsey Graham on the program with him. And as they're talking, it's amazing. The two of them almost trip over each other to try to distance what has happened from Islam, even though this guy was clearly motivated by Islam. Bob Schieffer says to him, you know, do you think the fact that this man was a Muslim, obviously he was either part of some terrorist plot, and I think most suggestions are that he wasn't. It's looking more and more like he was just sort of a religious nut. And, you know, Islam doesn't have a majority, or the Christian religion has its full, you know, its full helping of nuts too, and then goes on from that. This is so typical, this idea that, oh, we quickly have to add, oh, but Christianity has its nuts as well. Well, in reality, this was a Muslim attack. The U.S. government tried to ignore it. The report on the attack does not use the word, the official government report does not use the word Islam, does not talk about the jihadist motives of Major Hassan, and you have the media essentially saying, now wait, before we pin this on Islam, let's not forget that Christians have their nuts too. And as I point out in the book, Jerry, the thing that the media quickly wants to do is compare Islamic violence to supposed Christian abortion clinic shootings, or abortion clinic bombings, abortion clinic attacks. And we need to say right from the outset, I as a Christian, you, Jerry, as a Christian, everybody listening to us who's a Christian, in no ambiguous terms, condemns the attacks on abortion clinics. They should not happen. There is no Christian justification for them. They're wrong. They're evil. And so we don't at all condone attacks on abortion clinics. That having been said, we need to go back and look at what has actually happened on these attacks on abortion clinics. Over the past 30 years in America, you have had essentially four attacks on abortion clinics that can actually be attributed to people that can be said to have had some sort of self-professed Christian motive. The first abortion clinic you have in America is in 1992. The most recent is in 2009. There have been 8 total murders of abortion clinic doctors or employees in America. Four of which
you say can be attributed to professing Christians. And yet Richard Dawkins, in his book, The God Delusion, talks about the American Taliban, and I was reading real carefully, well, what is he talking about? And he was talking about Christians, quote-unquote, who kill abortionists.
Yeah, and again, we condemn that as evil, but let's keep it in context. In the history of America, there have been 8 total murders of abortion clinic doctors or employees in America, you know, in 6 different incidents, at the hands of 6 different attackers. In those, of those 6 killers, at least one was clearly insane. The other, Eric Robert Rudolph, who also carried out the Olympic Park bombing in Atlanta, has condemned Christianity himself, says, that's not me. So of the 4 remaining that you could attribute some sort of deluded Christian motive to, you've got 4 attackers in 2 decades. And we're going to equate this to Islam. Nidal Hassan killed more than that in 1 attack.
Wow.
And we see that's a, and I don't mean to make light of it, Jerry,
but
8 deaths, that's a slow afternoon for radical Islam on any given day.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
true.
To equate these 2 things is absolutely ridiculous.
All right, djameskennedy.org for more information. The name of the book, None Dare Call It Islam. John Rabe is the author. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jerry.
God bless.